You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game, one show at a time, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. We're also the world's most dangerous sports show. Did I mention that, Marcus?
You did not.
Okay, well, I think that's good to know, because we might get into some dangerous waters this week. Who knows? Because it is a Royal Rant edition of the show, a special NFL kickoff weekend edition of the Royal Rant. And I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. Jared Goff and I have a lot in common. The number one thing being that neither one of us will be on the sidelines for the Rams this weekend, Vandenberg. How you doing, my brother?
Nathaniel, how are you?
You didn't like me taking shots at your franchise quarterback?
You know, I am not too worried about Jared Goff and his development. You know, I'd rather have a quarterback sort of sit and prepare as opposed to being tossed to the wolves. So go ahead, Case Keenum, do your thing.
I think that's the best way to go, too. But what do you make of them making him inactive? Like, instead of just putting him, like, the fact that he couldn't beat out Mannion, does that give you pause?
Nah. You know, I think if, let's say Keenum got hurt, and week two came around, I think Goff would start over Mannion. I just think it's probably, you know, just one of those moves where they're not expecting anything to happen to Keenum during the game, so why not just toss Mannion out there and have Goff focus on doing whatever inactive quarterbacks do.
We'll talk a little bit about your Rams later on when we get into our picks challenge, but as I mentioned off the top, the 2016 NFL season has begun. We had our first game last night, Marcus, which featured a Super Bowl rematch pitting the defending and reigning NFL champions of the world, the Denver Broncos, hosting Cam Newton, your NFL MVP and the greatest black quarterback on planet Earth, and the Carolina Panthers. And even without Peyton Manning, pretty much the same results.
I was surprised, were you?
I was not surprised that Denver's defense looked so effective. I was surprised, though, that the Panthers weren't able to pull it out. Granted, you know, they only lost by a point, and had the field goal not going awry, they probably would have won the game. But I think, man, you got to give all the credit in the world to Wade Phillips. What do you make of Trevor Siemian? Like, I think a lot of people were hyperventilating with him last night. I'm just sitting there looking at the game like, I think y'all need to pump your brakes a little bit. But if he can turn into any kind of decent quarterback this season, Marcus, Denver's going to beat a lot of people because that defense will keep them in games.
Yeah, he had the turnover early, but I didn't feel like he really hurt the Broncos. I think he did a decent enough job getting the ball to his receivers. He still has two talented receivers in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. And, you know, when C.J. Anderson is actually looking like C.J. Anderson, that helps things a lot. So I think all they need him to do is not hurt them. I mean, if he can give them what Peyton gave them last year, then they should be in good shape.
I agree. And on the side of the Panthers, a lot was made about the punishment that Cameron Newton took during the game. And to Cam's credit, though, he wasn't the one coming out and making these claims. It was other people making the claims for him.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make, Marcus? Because I don't think that's the reason the Panthers lost the game. But I do think that some of those hits crossed the line in terms of if this were another quarterback, like a Tom Brady or a Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, I think some of those hits would have probably been called.
How much of that do you think has to do with sort of Cam's game? And yeah, a lot of these hits weren't him running the ball. They're him in the pocket. But I think we're so used to Cam, you know, getting contact because he is a sort of not a run first quarterback, but he's not afraid to run. Do you think that has an impact on how the refs call it?
I think it's twofold. I think one is the running quarterback stigma, like you said, because, you know, we've seen guys like Michael Vick or Steve Young or even Aaron Rodgers early in his career not get the benefit of the doubt on close calls. But I think the other thing, Marcus, is kind of that Shaquille O'Neal syndrome. You know, when Shaq was in the NBA and, you know, he's so big, a lot of times he wouldn't rightfully get called or he wouldn't get fouls called on the players against him, defending him because he was just so big and physically imposing. And I think Cam gets a lot of that because he's the size of a lot of these linebackers and he's bigger than a lot of these defensive backs trying to bring him down. So I think it makes it difficult for the officials to call it, but I think they need to call it because Cam is at a point, Marcus, the reigning MVP, where he is one of the premier players in the game. And I think, you know, he should be getting those calls. And you can say that, you know, in years past, those wouldn't be calls, but we're in a different age now. We're in an age where the NFL has explicitly told us they're all about player safety, and particularly when it comes to quarterbacks and receivers, your skill players. So to me, if Brady's going to get those calls and Aaron Rodgers is going to get those calls, I think Cam should get those calls as well.
Did you see what Cecil Newton had to say, Cam's father?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pops Newton was he wasn't having it.
So Cecil on Friday told ESPN, quote, people throw all these jingles out there about Cam is mobile, he's bigger, he's more physical. There's a lot of this and that. At the end of the day, Cam deserves to be protected just like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, and the list goes on and on. I know a good hit when I see a good hit, but when you deliberately target and when you're constantly being hit after the ball is out, I question the intent of the defensive player, and I question the official who basically, if he does not warn them, lets the flow of the game continue. Cecil continues on. I'm disappointed in the officiating crew as a fan of the NFL. These guys have to do a better unbiased job. I don't want it to necessarily be because he's a black quarterback, but it causes you to wonder, are you racially biased or have some hidden reason for treating him differently? Because if everybody else can see the targeting, I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten since last night in the last 12 hours. So, I can't say I agree with Cecil Newton. I don't think this is a racial thing. What do you think?
No, see, I know some folks might think that we would go there, but I'm not going to go there in this point. Like, I don't think it's a racial thing. I think it's what we talked about. You know, they are finding it hard to call Cam's game. But by the same token, I agree with the first part of what Cecil was saying. You know, if you look at that game, the officials, to me, did not do a good enough job of negating some of those borderline or even over-the-line hits. Like, I think Cam got hit with some helmet-to-helmet contact three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once, okay, twice, maybe. But there were a couple, especially in the second half. And the last one that, you know, had Cam down on the ground for a minute And he actually had to go through the concussion protocol.
Which they called, but then it was offset because he didn't get the ball out the pocket. But it's hard to throw the ball out of the pocket when you're getting
What did you make of that? Because I thought that was a little bit of a bogus call. Because it's like, he didn't. It was intentional grounding. But it's like at the same time, like this dude is spearing Cam in the head. And he's supposed to have enough oomph on the ball to get it to back to the line of scrimmage. I thought that was a little suspect.
I'm hoping that is a rule change next year where it's not offsetting when a guy commits a personal foul on the quarterback. Because that should negate whatever play comes after that. That's a flawed system.
Right. And again, I'm not saying that the officials cost the Panthers the game. To me, the game was too damn close anyway. You know, Carolina, granted, Denver's got a great defense, but your offense should be able to put up more points than Simeon and that offense does. I don't blame the officials for Carolina losing the game, but I do think that there is some merit to what Cecil says, you know, not the racial stuff, but in the fact that, you know, this guy is one of the faces of your league and he should be officiated. He should get the same calls as the superstars.
What's that Paul Mooney skit?
Are you talking about a Negrodamus or a...
No, the wake-up call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Thursday night was Cam Newton's wake-up call. And, you know, I don't want to say it's karma for his little comments about not seeing race, but I can't feel for you, bro, on the whole race thing after you know, Cam doesn't see race, so why should his father see race now?
Yeah, and again, like, I don't want to make it out like Cam was the one saying this stuff.
No, this was his pops. Yeah, this wasn't Cam. Cam didn't make any excuses or anything like that after the game, so.
But I did, who was it? Riverboat Ron came out after the game. He was outspoken about it. Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Panthers, made some comments about it. Even Teddy Bruschi on ESPN was saying, you know, I'm a guy that made a living hitting quarterbacks, but even some of the hits that he saw Cam take, you know, whether it was the helmet to helmet or whether it was, you know, little extracurricular activities after the whistle or after the ball had been thrown, he's like, you know, he's like, people can sneeze or say boo to Tom Brady and he's going to get that flag. So if Cam is really going to be one of your premier players, you know, you got to protect him like one. I mean, obviously in a perfect world, that wouldn't be taken into consideration, like who this guy is. But it's not a perfect world. And we've seen superstars, especially superstar quarterbacks, get these calls. And so I think Cam should get those calls as well.
I think we'll see a change going forward the rest of the season.
Yeah, I do think what Rivera was doing was much like Phil Jackson, you know, working the refs after the game.
Yeah.
And I think Cam will probably get I'm not going to say he's going to get all the same calls, but he'll probably get a greater percentage of those superstar calls as the season goes on.
And he's going to need it. He can't take the punishment like that because they're...
No, like it's... And we were talking before we went on the air, before we started recording tonight, Marcus, like, there's something about Denver and that Wade Phillips defense that, you know, if Cam is the Superman that he thinks he is, Denver's got the kryptonite.
Yeah.
Because he's played tough defenses before, but it's something about Wade Phillips and this Denver Broncos defense that makes him look average, you know, because Cam didn't have a bad night last night, but it certainly was not a night befitting of, you know, your reigning MVP.
He looked a little bit like 2014 Cam as opposed to compared to 2015 Cam. He sort of looked like the old Cam Newton, sort of not accurate on his passes, and I would say relying more on his legs than probably he wanted to, which was part of the defensive scheme. So it's something he's going to have to – maybe it's just a one-time thing that they get the 49ers next week.
And that could be ugly in the other direction.
And then they get the Vikings. So they will – at both at home. So I think we'll see what the Panthers actually look like for the season as opposed to – or compared to last night.
Yeah, and if you're a Panthers fan, like, there were some positive signs last night. Kelvin Benjamin back in the lineup scored an early touchdown. The defense didn't seem to miss a beat. You know, we talked a lot about Denver's defense, but Carolina's defense was hanging right there with them and certainly gave them a chance to win the game. So this is a bump in the road. I think Carolina's going to bounce back, and I don't know if they're going to win the conference again, but they'll be in the mix.
I think they're definitely the favorites in the conference for sure.
I'd say them and Arizona to me. Those are my two teams.
Yeah. I still believe in Arizona too. So, what's what they do against New England on Sunday? Minus Gronkowski, it looks like.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, let's go ahead and get into our picks challenge, Marcus.
All right. Year this three.
Yes, year three of the picks challenge. I believe you won the first year.
I did.
I dominated in year two.
You won year two. Add on words. Yeah, you won.
I mean, we got to keep 100 with the people. Like, I charged out to a massive lead over you, and then much like that car commercial with the two brothers, not black brothers, but two fraternal brothers driving in Europe, and, you know, the one brother pulls his foot off the gas pedal at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did to you, man.
You coasted.
Yeah, I coasted. You know,
Usain Bolt me? You just showboating until the end? All right.
Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know what happened to me down the stretch. It was like after week eight, all my picks started tanking. But that's okay, because it's a new year. And for those that are new to the program, each week during the NFL season, we select five games. We select four games on Sunday and then the Monday night game. And this week, we have two Monday night games, but we're not going to pick the one between the Steelers and the Washington racial slurs. let's get into it, Marcus. We got four games on the schedule. Do you have the spreads available?
I do.
All right. So game one in our 2016 picks challenge is going to be my Atlanta Falcons hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. Brother Marcus, what is the spread?
Falcons minus 2.5.
Ooh, Falcons minus 2.5 at home. Let's start this year off on a good foot. Matt Ryan is my backup in our fantasy league. We'll talk a little fantasy after our picks challenge. But, yeah, let's – give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons.
Give me the Bucs.
All right. Since we did a game with my team, let's go to your team, Marcus, or your old team. I don't know. Are you still
– Share custody.
Pledging allegiance to the Jets?
I do, but they play each other this year.
Oh, the Jets and the Rams?
Yeah.
So what are you going to get, one of those jerseys that's half and half?
I can root for overtime.
So we've got an interesting game for Marcus's Jets, 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 as they host the great Marvin Lewis.
Great, my ass.
And the Cincinnati Bengals. What's the spread, brother?
Well, it's great because it's September. If it's January, they would lose by 21.
I was
going
to say, he's a regular season all-timer.
Yeah.
He dominates.
Bengals minus 2.5.
Bengals minus 2.5.
No respect. No respect for the home team.
Yeah. Who you got in this one?
Bengals.
You got Bengals?
Yeah.
I don't know about the – how's Forte looking for the Jets?
Yeah, just okay.
Just okay?
It's preseason.
Yeah. I'm gonna. This might be a theme, but I'm gonna pick the home team. Give me the Jets.
I will say this about the Jets: they've come a long way in 2 years, considering they've added Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Matt Forte, and Fitzpatrick. I mean, that offense
actually got a legitimate offense.
Legitimate offense. They probably have the best wide receiver tandem duo in the league. That's up there.
You might be right, Marcus. Trying to run through the rosters in my head. I'm at a disadvantage because you just got finished playing Madden, so I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm up on my Tavon Austin-Kenny Britt duo out there in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. How was Madden, by the way? I haven't played this year's version.
Madden's pretty good. It's, you know, every time I buy Madden, I play it for like 6 weeks and then I stop. But I think this year I actually played for more than 6 weeks. It's pretty good.
Who's doing the commentary?
It is a guy I've never heard of before in Charles Davis. The cool thing about the broadcasting this year is they will update throughout the season. So okay. In addition to roster updates, you did commentary updates, and the updates are tailored towards what's happening in the actual NFL.
Interesting.
So I think they even have something about Kaepernick kneeling in the gameplay now. They can add in.
Huh. I was gonna go somewhere, but we're not gonna go there.
All right.
I don't want to start any trouble this week.
Okay. This week.
this week. So our next game though is a classic AFC West rivalry that it's kicking off the season. Normally this game comes a little later on in the season, but the San Diego Superchargers travel to KC to take on the Chiefs. What's the spread, Marcus?
Chiefs minus 6.5.
I think this one could get ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Chargers, you know, having lived in San Diego for a portion of my life, but I have no faith in this year's version of the Chargers. Like, do you think Philip Rivers regrets staying with the team?
No. He's getting paid.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to feed. More room in San Diego for his 8 kids. And
I was going to say, somebody's got to put food in his 10 kids' mouths.
Yeah.
Got more kids than Heath Slater. You said 6.5?
6.5.
Give me the Chiefs, man.
Give me the Chiefs.
I was trying to go through my mind and try to talk myself into picking the Chargers, but I couldn't even do that, man.
Arrowhead's tough.
Yes. The Sunday night game. The New England Patriots with Jimmy Garoppolo take on one of the tougher teams in the National Football Conference, and that is the Arizona Cardinals with Coach Kangol. What's the spread for that one?
Cardinals minus 7, and this is probably the first time that the Patriots have been a 7-point underdog since the Belichick era.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the spread, real quick, what do you think the spread would be if Brady were playing?
I would say...
You think the Cardinals will still be the favorite?
Yeah. At home, yeah, definitely. I would say Cardinals, well, assuming like Gronk was playing too, 1 or 2 points.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Cards minus 1, Cards minus 2.
Okay. Cardinals, give me the Cardinals.
The Patriots always find ways to, you know, keep games interesting. I'm going to go to the Patriots. They've had all offseason to prepare for the Cardinals. Let me get the Pats minus 7. That's a lot of points.
Marcus buying into the Jimmy Garoppolo era.
I'm in.
And finally, our Monday night game. Marcus's Los Angeles Rams.
All right.
Head to San Francisco to take on America's team and America's favorite backup quarterback, the San Francisco 49ers. What is the spread?
Rams minus 2.5.
What is the spread for these two pitiful teams?
Pitiful. Come on, 8-8. Rams 2.5. They're the Rams favorites.
I'm trying to think. Have I taken home teams for every game this week? I took the Falcons. Yeah, I'm taking. Okay, well, let's keep it rolling. And I'm going to stand up for Kaepernick, even though he's not going to be playing, and go with the Niners.
Give me the Rams.
All right. So go back and refresh our picks one more time for the people, Marcus.
Falcons, Bucks. I have the Bucks. You have the Falcons. Bengals, Jets. I have the Bengals. You have the Jets. Chargers, Chiefs. We both have Kansas City. Pats, Cardinals. I have the Pats. You have the Cardinals. And Rams, 49ers. I have the Rams, and you have the 49ers.
Okay, so stay tuned each and every week of the NFL season. We'll see how this pick challenge goes. I want to say, like, maybe I'll come up with some type of document so we can keep track on the Facebook page, but I think that's going to fall into another one of those things we talk about but never do.
I will execute this. I will create a Google document that I can share to the group, and I'll post it to the Facebook, group.
So I like it. You assume 100% of the responsibility. So
yes,
it doesn't get done.
I'm light skin. It's my blood.
Oh, speaking of blood, Marcus, this week you and I are locked in a blood feud.
We are.
In the Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League, powered by the good people at Yahoo Sports. As this is our, what, third season?
Might be fourth season. Fourth season, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is because, when we started this show.
Yeah, we started March 2012.
Yep, so, yeah. So this would be our fourth season of the Kings of Sport Fantasy Football League. I am the Carolina Panthers of the league, not only because I have Cam Newton, but because I finished second in the championship game. So I'm trying to bring my team back to prosperity. Marcus, I think you had a solid season. You made the playoffs.
Did I? Let me check.
I think you made the playoffs last year.
No, I finished ninth.
Oh.
Looks like.
maybe I was confusing you with Dennis Black and Asian.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Yeah, you both of you look alike. but this year, I think it's wide open, Marcus, because there are 16 teams up from 14 last year. And we've got a lot of experience in terms of our coaches around the league. So I think it's anybody's season this year. Could be you, could be Jamie from Mr. Throwback Thursday, could be the franchise, Boo, could be our defending champion, who is I believe Nicholas
Pen Pals.
Yes, that's the Pen Pal is he, Nicholas is our defending champion. So
what do you think about your team?
I'm actually pretty happy with my team. I've got Cam Newton. I've got Cam Newton's my starting quarterback. I've got Mark Ingram as my lead back. I've got D'Angelo Williams for the next three games as my secondary back. Greg Olsen is my tight end. I've got Pittsburgh as my defense. I don't know why I left Von Miller on the bench. I should have started Von Miller.
Whoops.
But I got Von Miller, and I got the Honey Badgers, my individual defensive players, and I got the Steelers defense. So the only area I'm a little iffy on, Marcus, is my receiving core. Because I've got a lot of what I would classify as boom or bust receivers with Randall Cobb and DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I got Willie Snead on my bench. But yeah, I'm like, that's the only area of my team where I'm not completely sold at. But I do think, as you well know from last year, Marcus, having Cam Newton on your team can make up for a lot of deficiency.
He can. He can do wonders for you. He can win you some money.
So, and then I got a good draft grade from Yahoo. I got an A-, but you, on the other hand, got an A. How do you feel about your squad?
So, I made a mistake. In drafting, I thought the flex was receiver, running back, or tight end. And in this league, it's receiver and tight end.
Yes.
So, I have some extra running backs on my bench that I'm trying to juggle. I went Peterson for my first pick. And in addition to Adrian Peterson, I now have Spencer Ware, who looks like will be the starter in Kansas City for the time being. And I have Latavius Murray of the Raiders and have Amir Abdullah on the bench. One of those guys I would love to have in my flat spot over Torrey Smith, but I can't. So maybe I can trade one of those guys down the road. But so I went.
And don't bury the lead. You've got maybe the most attractive piece of trade bait, at least to one owner, sitting on your bench right now.
Yeah, so I went running back, receiver heavy towards the beginning and decided to target Tom Brady later on in the draft and stash him away. But I still have Matthew Stafford, who might not be a great quarterback in real life, but he's a great fantasy quarterback option. So Stafford's my option for the time being. My receivers are Brandon Cooks, Julian Edelman, Torrey Smith, and Marcus Wheaton, and Tamar Aitken. So I have two solid receivers, and then my third spot, it's sort of a crapshoot each week. And Delanie Walker, who is quietly a sneaky good tight end, especially in PPR leagues. So I'm confident about my team once Brady gets back. I feel like he's going to be on a mission this year.
Yeah.
Just to stick it to Goodell.
The thing with having 16 teams, but also, you know, our league, we have two receiving spots, two running back spots, and then, you know, the tight end and the flex position. So you're not going to have one of these teams that you got studs at every spot. And so I think it's going to be really interesting because the margin of error between the best team in our league and the worst team, to me, it's more a matter of the owner rather than the actual player on the team, the roster. Like, if is the owner on the waiver wire, like Marcus Grant talked to us about last week? Is are you making sure that your roster is updated and keeping track of injuries and stuff like that? Like, I think that's where the league is going to be won or lost this year rather than individual players, because every team is pretty balanced for the most part.
Yeah, I didn't see what the final grades were from Yahoo, but yeah.
I know one person got a terrible grade. Let's look at our grades real quick, Marcus, which is one of the like, I got to hand it to Yahoo. Like, that's one of my favorite things every year, reading the draft grades.
The grades are a little flawed. It's all based on points of the guys you drafted in the draft position. So, you can cheat the system.
Right now, you and the Kingdom, a.k.a. the franchise, both have A's. I have an A-. Got a lot of folks with B-pluses and Bs in the middle.
Ooh, I see it.
Yeah, we got some C-pluses, some Cs. But then, at the very bottom, we got
Beer Boys.
D from the Beer Boys. Despite a powerful set of running backs, the Beer Boys couldn't do this poorly again if they tried.
So the Beer Boys, I'm not sure who the manager is.
Who writes these headlines for the Yahoo Draft grade?
The robots.
Damn savage.
So they took Ezekiel Elliott with the first pick, with their first pick, pick number 6 overall. And then they went Alshon Jeffrey and who was the third round pick? Michael Floyd. Marvin Jones and then Duke Johnson of the Browns.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's why they got the D.
Was Duke Johnson Jr. the best choice at pick number 91?
I'm going to say no.
Beer Boys apparently think so, as the Browns running back is projected to net 177 points this year after putting up 150 last season.
So looking at his team, he's got Kirk Cousins, who's a good option at quarterback. And
is that his starting quarterback?
His starter. His receivers are Alshon Jeffrey, Michael Floyd, Marvin Jones Jr. He's at Eric Ebron, another Lion at tight end. And his bench, he's at Michael Thomas, who's a rookie for the Saints. He's at Fitzpatrick. He's at James White of the Patriots, who could be a sneaky good PPR option. And he has another rookie, Laquan Treadwell in Minnesota, and Jordan Cameron. I wouldn't give this team a D, though.
Poor Paul.
It's a little harsh.
Paul, who, I don't know if you remember this, Marcus, why Paul will always be one of my favorite managers in the league.
Did he beat the franchise?
He was the guy, remember, that hit us up on the email and was the player from Germany.
Oh, yes. Oh,
the Alfred Kwawana.
Yeah.
Remember the duck?
That's right.
The Alfred Kwawana. So, yeah, Paul always has a special place in this league for me. But speaking of managers in the league, we have new teams this year, and one of the managers is none other than our college football correspondent, Cam Powell, Marcus.
Cam is in.
And so I look forward to destroying him and then having him come on the show to talk about his defeat, his team, El Fuego Caliente.
Because he's hot fire.
Yes, because he's hot fire. Like, I didn't catch that until right now.
I don't play Cam until the final week of the season, so.
We'll have to have him on. Like, I know some people are asking where was our college football talk, and I don't know about you, Marcus, but I wasn't in college football mode when the season kicked off.
I was until that Alabama game, and then I'm out of it. I'm done.
Like, I'm looking forward to this Virginia Tech game, though. Like, this is going to be the most
spectacle.
This is going to be the most Southern football game in the history of football, and that's saying a lot.
It is at Bristol Speedway in Tennessee.
Yes.
Vatek in Tennessee, and they're expecting 150,000, something like that.
Yes, like this is – you got an SEC team and an ACC team at a NASCAR track.
What could go wrong?
Come on, man. Can you imagine how much beer will be bought and how much Chick-fil-A will be eaten at this event?
Yeah.
The only thing more Southern... I'm not even going to finish that joke, Marcus.
Uh-oh.
That was good. Again, I'm not trying to get in trouble this week. Because, full disclosure, we got an episode of Review America coming out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Brian Mann for the Fight Network. So I don't want all my mentions to just be people angry with me this weekend.
You got
to
save the hate.
I got 2 days off. I'm off Saturday and Sunday. I want to enjoy my weekend.
Enjoy some football.
Yes, I will be enjoying. I don't know. I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't know if it's just the older I get, the less time I have for a wide variety of sports, or if it's the fact that I didn't go to a big-time college football school, but college football is something that I find myself falling less and less out of as the years go on, or more and more out of as the years go on, as opposed to like college basketball, which I'm still there for.
I'm the opposite. I paid less attention this year or last year to college basketball compared to college football. I mean, I wasn't invested in the whole Clemson thing, but I didn't even do a bracket this year for college basketball.
That is shameful as someone who is a sports editor.
I know. Baseball editor.
Oh, now you want to play the baseball card.
It was during spring training. I was distracted.
Well, speaking of baseball, what's up with your man Tim Tebow of the New York Metropolitans?
You know,
when's your first Tim Tebow feature going to be coming down the pike, Marcus?
I would have been fine with this if he decided to say, hey, look, I'm signing with the Mets. I'm going to dedicate 110% to baseball. I'm not going to worry about any outside distractions. But no, what do we hear right away? He wanted to sign with a team that allowed him to keep his broadcasting job.
Which is that's a lose-lose, because obviously, you know, I'm a fan of Tim Tebow, Marcus. Terrible broadcaster.
He's not good.
No. Like, he's a worse broadcaster than he was an NFL quarterback. Yes.
He's not. He's terrible.
At least he won in the NFL.
He's winning nothing on television.
Like, he is just the worst. And, like, again, I like Tim Tebow. I think he's a good guy. Not a good broadcaster. Doesn't add anything to the broadcast. It's like, Tim, what do you think about this game? Well, both teams play hard. I think it'll be a good matchup. And one team's got to come out. And, you know, you got to fight for all four quarters. But sometimes, you know, you can only play for two quarters. But, like, what are you talking about, Tim Tebow?
I don't want to sound like, you know, grumpy ex-baseball player, because that was the theme this week after Tebow signed, where the ex-baseball guys criticizing him for keeping the broadcast gig. But considering, A, you're not good at broadcasting, and B, you're not good at baseball, maybe focus on baseball full-time.
Well, what are the, for those that haven't heard, what are the exact details of his deal with the Mets?
So he signed a minor league contract. He will be taking part in the fall instructional league, which starts September 19th in Port St. Lucie, where the Mets
not a whole lot of time
play spring training. And he's now asked for this one day off a week to do television. The Mets are fine with that, and the Mets said he'll make up the time later on in the year, anytime you.
So how competitive is this, or is this more of an instructional league?
No, it's more for actually younger prospects. So you're not going to find a lot of. So
he'll be the old man.
Be the old man, unless there's a guy who is at rehabbing and needs to get more playing time. But he'll be probably the old man on the field. And so after instructional league, then you have the Arizona Fall League, which usually attracts prospects, but more of the prospects who are going to be actually legitimate stars in baseball.
Right.
And then you can do Winter League, which is usually like in a international country, so Venezuela, the Dominican, Mexico. If
you know, Tebow would be all about that. He could get his missionary work in and play baseball. Yeah.
And winter league, you'll find the most competitive out of the three. You'll get major league guys, especially from the home countries, who will play winter league. Not sure about next year because of the World Baseball Classic, how that's going to work. But you'll get some major league guys that he'll face if he does winter league. And I think at that point, we'll know how this is going to play out. I still can't see him making it to spring training next year.
Is it true, Marcus, that more than one team wanted to sign Tebow?
Yes, that's the report. He had some options to choose from. Which...
So he actively searched out the New York Mets, or that was his active decision.
His active decision was because the Mets would allow him to do this arrangement.
So do you think they're the only team, and that's why?
That would allow this? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I gotta say, Marcus, even though I knew it wasn't gonna, like, he wasn't going to make the major league team, I kind of wanted him to sign with the Braves organization.
And the Braves were rumored to be one of those teams interested for sure, and it did not work out. I'm sure.
Do you know how much Atlanta Braves / Tim Tebow / Chick-fil-A swag? Like, that was a built-in marketing opportunity.
They would have embraced him.
I'm almost surprised he hasn't. He's like not a spokesperson for Chick-fil-A now. Like, you would think, out of any athlete, he'd be like the perfect guy for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, just I always hit the creeps when I go to Chick-fil-A, and they're so nice and polite, and it's just like, all right, just cut it out.
It's because you're a grumpy, terrible man, Marcus Vandenberg. We've established that this past few weeks on the show. Like, you're killing the kids' dreams out there. You're bitter. You're hateful. You should be happy you got a football team.
Hateful is a strong word. Come on.
Like, you should be happy you got a football team.
I'm petty.
Yes, petty B.
I want Bryce Petty of the Jets to be good so I can buy a Bryce Petty jersey and just wear it. Just have Petty on the back. I hope he changes number Petty number one, but he's Petty 9 at the moment. So.
So your favorite NASCAR driver was Richard Petty?
Yeah.
Last thing on Tebow, though, because I did have to shout out a friend of the program and one of our earliest guests, Bobby France, a.k.a. Bobby Fresh, who is a big Mets fan, as you know, Marcus.
Yep.
I had to send him a tweet congratulating him on bringing Timothy Richard Tebow to the Mets, and he was like, well, that's cool. Maybe he can finally heal David Wright.
Oh, man.
Which
poor David Wright.
David Wright, man. Like, I'm getting old because I remember when David Wright was in high school.
You are old.
Hey, I still look young though. That's the beautiful thing about it, Mark.
Someone did say at NABJ, I forgot who it was, but when they asked me how old you were, and I told them, they were surprised. So that's a good sign.
Okay.
I don't know what age they thought you were.
Yeah, there's a lot of follow-up questions.
But they did not think you were knocking on 40's door.
Normally, I'll get anywhere from like late 20s to mid 30s.
I can see that.
And I'm like, okay, you know, long as I'm not looking like Otis Nixon when he played for the Braves.
No.
I'm good. Otis was legitimately late 20s, but he looked like he was in his early 40s. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we were going to get that much baseball talk into the football theme show.
Yeah,
football theme show. But real quick, last thing on baseball, Marcus. How do you feel about your boy Kershaw coming back?
He's pitching as we speak. He's losing at the moment. And, you know, the Dodgers have, since he's been gone, they've made up 11 games in the standings. They were, I believe, down 6.5 games, and now they're up 5 on the Giants.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell happened to the Giants.
Yeah, they've had the worst record in baseball since the All-Star break. So they've really
And they had the best record before the break, didn't they?
Not the best. Cubs are up there. But they were definitely best in the NL West for sure. And I don't know what happened, but they are, at this point, not even a lot for the wild card.
No.
The Mets might come in and steal that spot. So I'm confident in Kershaw. I think at this point they're going to match up with the Nationals. And with Strasburg not looking too hot for the season, I think that would give the Dodgers the advantage even on the road. And after that, it'd likely be the Cubs. And at that point, it's a crapshoot. I think the Cubs definitely have the advantage over the Dodgers, especially on the road.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling for the Cubs in the postseason, man, because I just want them. Like, Cleveland ended their drought this year, and I'd like to see the Cubbies take care of business, if nothing else, for Jermaine's mental health.
They'll find a way to blow it.
I was going to say, cause I don't know if Jermaine could take another crushing defeat like this.
Yeah.
But if Jermaine needs somebody to pick him up in Chicago, there is one man that might be able to do that this weekend, and I'm going to pause so Cult of Personality can play behind me. And that, of course, is Phil Brooks, better known to y'all as CM Punk, who will be a big part of UFC 203. He's not the main event, Marcus, but you could make the argument that he is the main attraction.
He's the people's main event.
Yes. They had their weigh-ins today, which were entertaining. I caught them when I got in. And the takeaways I took from the weigh-in, Marcus,
mm-hmm.
were Uriah Faber. You know, you talk about me not looking my age. Uriah Faber. I don't think he ages.
It's the California thing.
I also took away CM Punk. Finally getting into that wrestling persona, not shaking Mickey Gall's hand. It brought back some memories of him. And it looked like CM Punk was standing up there with a emaciated John Cena. brought back some memories. And then the third thing was when Jessica Eye and Betch Kahaya had their weigh-in.
Mm-hmm.
There was your typical, stereotypical weigh-in fight in air quotes,
yeah,
with I pushing Kahaya, and I just had my Sinbad thought of the day, which was women be tripping.
Yeah, Korea is known for some antics. Not surprised.
Yes, she of the famous. I didn't know I was making a comment about Ronda Rousey's father that committed suicide, mm-hmm. and then ended up paying for that one.
That didn't work out well.
Nah. but what do you make of this card, Marcus? You know, of course, we got Punk making his UFC debut, taking on Mickey Gall. And then the real main event is Stipe Miocic defending his heavyweight championship against Alistair Overeem in his hometown of Cleveland. Are you excited for this card? And what do you think the outcome is going to be?
Sort of excited. I'm more excited. More excited about this card than 204, which is in October. But I think with Punk, I am hoping he just makes it out of the first round. If he can make it out of the first round, I think that's a win. Because Mickey Gall has been training, I think, for 7 years in MMA, and he's just now getting his real first or second taste of the UFC. Considering Punt has been training for less than 2 years, and he's battled a couple injuries in that time, I think just escape the first round, that's a win. And, you know, if you lose by decision, then that's another win. I think the worst-case scenario is Punk gets knocked out.
Knocked the F out.
Second worst-case scenario would be Punk getting choked out in the first round.
Yeah.
But I think a choked out would be better getting knocked out. Just don't get knocked out, because it's easier to come back from a guy getting choked out compared to a guy just getting wrecked and... That might crush him if he goes down by knockout. But
win or lose, do you think this is? Do you think he's one and done with the UFC, or do you think we see him again?
No, I think we see him again.
Even if he loses,
yeah, he's a draw.
I think so too. You know, yeah, you could definitely see at the weigh-in. Like, other than Miocic, who is the hometown guy,
mm-hmm.
nobody had a bigger ovation than Punk.
Yeah, no one cares about Travis Brown. Faber has his fans, but in Cleveland might be a little tough. But yeah, he's a draw, and I could definitely see him on another pay-per-view or maybe even headlining a Fox show in the future.
And I love, like, I don't know what it is, man, but getting back to your boy Faber, like, he's a gatekeeper, in my opinion.
Yes, he's the ultimate gatekeeper.
And the announcers, like, they brought it up. And, like, I don't know, like, I haven't watched too many of these weigh-ins, so I don't know what they've said about Faber in the past, but they're like, this is the guy right here. He'll fight anybody. And if you can beat him, you might have something. But if you can't, he's still one of the toughest around. Like, oh, so basically, yeah, he's that guy where you test yourself.
But here's the problem. He's only... When he usually loses title matches, that's when he gets his losses. He will beat everyone until a belt is on the line, and then that's when...
He's Dolph Ziggler of the UFC.
He is Dolph Ziggler of the UFC.
You can make the argument like he's probably one of the best mixed martial artists ever that hasn't won the big one in the UFC.
You know who he is? He's Ted DiBiase. He's the best guy to never win a UFC title. DiBiase never won any gold in WWF.
Yeah.
That's what Uriah Faber is.
He's the million dollar man.
Yes.
With a butt chin. Oh. But yeah. Main event time, Marcus. Miocic, Overeem. Who you got?
Give me Alistair.
Really?
Yeah. This is like 5 years in the making for Alistair. He came in, he wrecked Brock in his debut. And I think
it's in enemy territory.
In enemy territory. Yeah, I think he can do it. You know, heavyweights, it takes a couple good punches and you're out. Give me Overeem.
I don't know if it's like I agree. Like I think Overeem is certainly qualified and he certainly could take this, but maybe I'm being sucked in by the hype packages for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like I'm just seeing Miocic knock dudes out.
He's been a killer.
Like I'm impressed, and when you add into that him fighting in front of his hometown crowd, I think that could help him. So I'm going to say Miocic keeps it at least one more event, and he retains at home, and he can go party with LeBron.
I'm going to say the curse of Cleveland's bad. Miocic loses. Browns get wrecked on Sunday, and Cleveland's bad to be in Cleveland.
Why you got to hate on RG3, man?
That dude.
He's a team captain this year, Marcus. He's a changed man.
That says a lot. That says all you need to know about the Browns, that they decided to vote this dude team captain.
Let me tell you what, Marcus. I believe in Hugh Jackson.
Well.
I don't believe Hugh Jackson's going to keep that job for very long because he's got the worst job in the NFL. But
yeah,
I believe in Hugh Jackson.
All right.
Isn't that the story? Story of the black coach.
Black coach, shitty job.
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis. Living the African-American dream.
I'm telling you, Marvin Lewis, as much as I would like to see both he and the Bengals go different ways, there is something to be said for job security. Like, Marvin Lewis may be the GOAT of black coaches just for that.
Yeah.
Even though Tony Dungy's got a ring, Lovie Smith's been to the Super Bowl, Mike Tomlin's got a ring. Just for not getting fired.
This man hasn't won a playoff game.
Marvin might be the GOAT.
It's been years. Years and years and years. Nothing. No playoff games. No playoff wins.
He is the good times of coaches. He's just keeping his head above water.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you can do, Marcus. Make a wave when you can. Speaking of waves, I think it might be time to wave goodbye to the people, man. A lot of stuff going on this weekend that I need to get to, man. I'm like, these beers aren't going to drink themselves. We got college football. We got UFC. Got the NFL, obviously, on Sunday. And we've got a pay-per-view Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff on the TV screen this week, brother.
And there's boxing.
Oh, there is?
Golovkin's fighting.
Oh.
And Chocolatito.
Huh. I'm a fan of Triple G.
That's on HBO for free, so that should be entertaining. Yeah.
Few rounds. Is that Saturday night?
Saturday night. Golovkin fights early. He's fighting in England, so that'll be on like at, I think, 5 Eastern, and then.
Oh, that's perfect because you can, if you want to be a lazy bones and just spend your day on the couch like Homer Simpson, you can just start your day with college, and go into the boxing, and then go from the boxing to the UFC.
Yep.
And do nothing all day.
That's my plan.
That's your plan?
Yeah. I got to work, but my work is tied into watching.
So you got to work and you got a wife, man.
Yeah, but she'll be busy. Let you she'll just be busy.
Lounge around on the couch all damn day.
Yeah, she will.
playing Madden and
that's watching. That's why I was playing now. She's not home.
You got to get it in while she's away.
I do. funny enough, so she was out of town and I tweeted, you know, wife's gone, I'm gonna play as much Madden as I can, and the Madden Twitter account saw it and retweeted it and put the little blessed hands emoji symbol.
And on that note, it's been a good show this week, Marcus.
Good show. Under an hour.
Yeah, under an hour. Short, sweet, and we can come back next week, and I think next week we'll officially launch Second Down.
Yes.
This year. And we may have a guest for that.
Maybe. We'll figure it out.
Okay. And let's see what else. Will we have the return of Vanderburgers?
Yes. In and out.
Oh, okay. So this will be a big one.
Yeah.
So not only will we have the season premiere of Second Down, our NFL weekly segment, but we will have the return of Vanderburgers with In-N-Out, a establishment and a review that a lot of you have requested, particularly Brian Mann. So I'll have to let him know that you're going to be reviewing In-N-Out. And who knows? We'll have to come up with some foolishness and some ratchetness for segment 4. But speaking of Madden, real quick, Marcus, did you see the Madden commercial during the game last night?
Which one was it?
With Marshawn Lynch,
who
may be returning. Well, basically, it had the guys that are the spokespeople for the Madden this year. I think it was Antonio Brown, Von Miller,
uh-huh.
And somebody else. I don't know. Maybe it was Odell. I don't know who the hell it was. But it was three guys, and they were talking about – oh, it was Russell Wilson. It was Russ. And they were talking about how they need to be more friendly to get the people who are out there playing online to like them. So, like, they were letting them win, and their Odell was over there or Russell Wilson was over there watching the game with one of them. And so, it ended up not working out because they didn't want to lose. They were too competitive to lose to the regular fans. And so the guy in the office, the marketing guy from EA, is just like, guys, we got to think of something. You know, this just isn't working. And then all of a sudden they cut to Marshawn Lynch, who's just chilling in the corner. He's like, man, you guys ain't got no people skills. And cut to the logo. And like, you know what? I miss Marshawn Lynch.
I think he'll be back.
You think he'll be back?
Yeah.
Well, the word is if he's going to come back, it'll be week 4. Do you think he'll still be effective?
I more effective than sounds like Thomas Rawls at this point. I think he can get you 60 yards a game.
Yeah.
Good goal line option.
And as we all know from that great interview, Marshawn Lynch, what he can do is run through a motherfucker's face.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most ridiculous quotes in the history of pro sports. I think Marshawn Lynch should have a podcast, Marcus.
It'd be a short podcast.
Isn't he from Oakland?
Yes, he is.
Okay, like Marshawn Lynch should have a podcast co-hosted by Too Short.
Hmm.
I think that's gold right there. That's a money show. I don't think it would last long, but I think for however long it lasted, that'd be a fun show every week.
Too Short and Marshawn Lynch.
Too Short and Marshawn Lynch.
Short Lynch, no.
Be the most most Oakland podcast ever.
Yeah. Where's Hammer? Hammer's had to make a cameo.
Yeah, Hammer have to be on E40.
What's he doing?
Hammer is like the biggest Golden State Warriors fan now. Like, he's like the Warriors Clipper Daryl.
Is that a good thing, though?
I mean, Clipper Daryl's carved out a nice little niche for himself.
He has.
And if you're Hammer, what else you got going on, man?
That's true.
I mean, he's putting out new music, but still. Like, Hammer putting out new music is like me putting out new podcasts.
Yeah.
It's like... I think people might listen more to my podcast than Hammer. It's just sad, because I like Hammer, man. I was never one of those people that clown Hammer.
I was Hammer for Halloween one year.
With the pants and everything?
Pants, glasses, shirt. I'll find a picture somewhere.
Oh, all right, man. Let's get out of here. If the people want to hit you up and talk to you about the greatness of MC Hammer, and please, Hammer, don't hurt him. Where can they find you on social media?
Can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right, and you can find me at N8, MozaiK. AIK. Yeah, it's time to go. At Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can also find me online at brothernate.com. It's my website. I need to take better care of my website, because like, I started it and I've got some updates, but it's more work than you think, Marcus, keeping the website updated.
You're talking to a guy who works for a website.
I mean, I don't know if you've had to deal with this before, Marcus.
No, never.
Just, you know, keeping stuff up to date and having content for people. It's really tough.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
So, you can check me out, brothernate.com or at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show at CosPod, KOS_POD, at CosPod on Twitter. Facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. Like, rate, and review the show. And most importantly, if you're digging what we're doing, share it with your friends. So, I was gonna say we're gonna make like MC Hammer and bust a move, but that's Young MC.
Yeah.
So, unless you got something else to talk about, Marcus, I'm ready to go and get this weekend started.
Let's do it.
All right. So, we'll catch you back next week for a full edition of the show. Again, with Vanderburgers, Second Down, and so much more. So we'll check you back here next week for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. For Marcus Vanderburg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Hammer, they say you ain't hitting in New York. What you gonna do about that, Hammer? I'm gonna turn this mother out. I like how that just kind of became a, like, going doing a monologue of the MC Hammer, turn this mother out video. But anyway. Have a good weekend, everybody, because you've been down with the King. Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about? Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport, or on Twitter, CosPod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter. Time is really wasted. Fight the powers that be.
wide world of sports is going on here.